Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and tonight's show, In Touch Interviews. Today we have a very special guest and author, Karmajeet Kaur, here to discuss her book, Truly Love Me, and her story. Before I bring her on, let me give you a little bit more information about her. She has an MBA. She's a certified trainer, personal coach, and consultant with 20 years of experience in people and services administration management. Currently, she conducts self-love, empowerment, and motivational seminars. She also gives personal coaching sessions to local and international clients on self-love empowerment. Her and her husband own a homeopathy clinic in Malaysia. She is now working toward uplifting and empowering people of all ages. Her intention is to inspire love that brings peace to humanity and Mother Nature. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome our guest, Karmajeet. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good evening. Courtney, how are you?
Well, thank you. I'm good. We were talking a little bit about that before the show. So for me here in America, it's 7 p.m. So what time is it for you where you're at?
It's exactly 7 a.m. It's really rise and shine morning in Malaysia right now.
Oh, wow. So I hope you have a cup of coffee next to you or something to keep you going.
Oh, yes, I'm all too bad.
Well, I am so excited to have you here this evening to talk about your book, Truly Love Me, and all about it and what it inspires and so forth. So I wanted to kind of get started with, your book in itself. So what is Truly Love Me? What is it about?
Right. Truly Love Me, it's all about finding true love within, and that is all about within me. And of course, it's also a message to everyone that we have been focused to find true love, you know, like, just like Cinderella's movie or Beauty and Beast kind of thing. And naturally, we always look out for true love outside to fill the gap inside us. But throughout the last 14 years of my life, loving myself, and I found out that the true love exists within me. So, yeah, the journey started when I had a divine voice one night and I tried many times multiply to attempt commit suicide. So that has led me to a total surrendering and give away myself to the divinity. And I always believe there's some huge power out there. So, and I knew that, you know, the last place for me to look for help and to look for a total light towards the path that I need to walk, and that is universe or almighty or God, or whoever you may call it. So, yeah. And at the end of the time, when I started my journey of loving myself, before I started, it's like I seek to divine and ask for a true love path, and eventually that has led me to understand with much experiences coming my way to know that what is true love. So, yeah, and here am I confidently. I've written a book. I started writing Truly Love Me since 2012. And it took me 3 years to write this book, though it's not very thick, but it's a simple experiences of life that is connected. What is true love? How do we see it? How do we perceive it? And what is the role of true love within us that matters and empowers our life with ourselves and others around us?
So, I mean, you literally wrote a book that it is meant to inspire people. I mean, I know that a lot of people look for true love with, you know, outside of themselves. You know, they think that they can't find it, you know, unless they're with someone. So what inspired you to put this out there? Because I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going, holy crap.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I'm very sure when, you know, it's like, oh, what is this? Well, what is she speaking about? Yeah, I get that all the time. Well, actually, it all started when I lost my mom at the age of 5. And I mean, basically, my life started about confused about what is love, trust, faith, and etc. So basically, I didn't really have a good relationship with my immediate family. Though I love my dad a lot, but there was always a gap. So that has like made me to look out like, okay, I just want somebody to love me for who I am. So I grew up with the feeling of, you know, striving to look out for the true love. And, you know, we have been like, at a very young age, we've been exposed to these all cartoons, Cinderella and Disney's and all these movies, Bollywood movies and romantic movies. And we all have the sense that we will find a partner who will love us for who we are, that complete our life, yeah? So at that very age, as I was growing to a teenager, and at very young age, I already started that, I know there's going to be somebody out there who's going to love me for who I am. So basically, that has put me into a very different experiences, which leads the good ones and the bad ones to experience what true love really means. And so when there were times when I was a little girl, I always asked myself, who I am here? What am I here for? Because of all those experiences that I have, you know, been experiencing since I was a little girl. So that has made me that nobody really loves me for who I am, yeah? So I was basically searching for that love outside. And when my first marriage failed, and actually there's many incidents has occurred in my life. Of course, I was molested at the age of 16, so so many things, and, you know, always been dumped in relationship, and yeah, all of us have walked that. So, but when it changed, when it came to a stage that, you know, I was totally giving up in understanding about love, and I started having a mind of destruction, totally of like, you know, I hated myself, I hated being beautiful. Sorry, it's not like, you know, and it's like, oh my, I felt that my beauty was just a fake, that, you know, people just like the physical side, not the inner me, you know. And then I started walking towards more of like, I just want to leave this body. And but I knew I had a daughter, so that was like, that was the reason that I was confused, that what do I do now? Because I didn't want my kid to go through what I was going through. But eventually, after there was an incident, I had a benign lump in my breast. And when I was in the hospital, and I started crying on the operation theater. So the doctors was like saying, why are you crying? Because I said, I just want to die. So, you know, surprisingly, the doctors like saying, I can't do this operation on her until she gets her mind in the right state and emotion in the right state. And they actually shut off the whole theater and they put me out and they detained me 2 days in counseling room. Oh my God. And I was like really in a, you know, in a totally different, I don't know what was happening, but I was really crying in those moments. And they called my father up and they told my father that this is what is happening. And then my father was very, very shocked and surprised. And I was, I think, about 26. And because I was a person who doesn't express much and I keep everything to myself. But I was a very, very vibrant person. I mean, I am still. I express myself like to friends. When you see me, you will not see like what she's going through. But I believe all of us have this kind of introvert personality. So, yeah, then after that, my dad said, come back home, you know, and I was staying with a pastor in a house for a while. I was away from my dad's home while we were going through the separation, and I told him, I said, give me some time, let me go back. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'll be fine. So when I went back home, and that's how things started, I knew that I had to do something, because it's like I tried to drive myself into a divider and kill myself. I tried to take a knife, you know, while cleaning a window, and it's just like there was a cut on my wrist. And, yeah, the many stupid things I've tried to end my life, but I didn't have any guts. So in the end of the day, that night, when I went back, I started chanting. And I was chanting in a simple manner of meditation. It's like in, you know, Punjabi, it's a Vaheguru. But I believe everybody have a different way of chanting. So I only know this name that we call upon, that's taught by my grandma. So I started chanting, and in those moments I was chanting, I closed my eyes, I was meditating, and I was just, you know, I just decided to speak to divinity and universe. And I was alone in the house, and I was in my room, and I felt like, okay, this is my calling. So it's like I was dialing up the number, and, you know, it's kind of thing, dialing up the number and calling God. It's like, can you just help me kind of thing. And, you know, when I was really continuing doing this chanting in that moment, but yet I was speaking through my heart and I was saying that, please help me, you know, because I tried to attempt to commit suicide many times and I know that it's not going to be good for me because basically I'll be ending up like a ghost. And not only and you know, I know that it's not good, and I mean, I do not know what is right and wrong, and I got a daughter, and I don't want her to go through what I've gone through all this while, and I don't want to hurt anyone. I know I'm pretty confused. I'm not saying my, you know, that time my first husband was like first ex-husband. I know he's not a bad man, but in the end of the day, I know we can't work out, you know. So it was in that moment I said, I'm just tired. I'm really tired. I said, you have taken my mom, you have taken my grandma, and I just totally tired of living this life. So can you just take me back? You know, this is the conversation that I was having in that moment of my meditation. And take me back right now, instantly, because I know that you brought me alive. So I know there's no other way. So I'm seeking for your interference towards me, take me back. Or put me in the path that I can know what is right for me to live my life, that I can breathe, you know? So when I was keep on pushing it through this conversation through my mind and my heart and my soul, you know, in that moment through a chanting. So I think it went on for a few hours because my eyes was literally closed all the while. And I was tearing and crying, to, you know, in that moment, totally surrendering. And within a few hours, it's like I felt a light, you know, total lightness in my body. And I don't know, I think it's like some weight was lifted and suddenly there was a voice with just two words, 40 days vegetarian. I was like, okay. I was chanting in a Punjabi. I was like, English speaking God? Oh, wow. No, because you see, the thing is like, yeah, because I expected the language that I was praying, yeah. So it was very interesting that I have these two words just appearing within me. The voice, it just came and it just got me so, but all emotion. It's totally goosebumps and it's totally shocked and it's totally like happiness and yet is this what's happening? And I did not open my eyes because I really, really do not know who I'm going to see and if I open my eyes, you know, kind of thing. So I waited. But in my mind, I was like, keep saying, okay, English speaking God, that's quite interesting. So then I waited. I waited for more and no one, I questioned back. I said, thank you. And I asked, what sort of prayer I need to do? And there was no answer. There was no answer and there was nothing. And finally, I decided to open my eyes. And when I did, because, you know, after like, I think 5 hours of total prayers rendering and my eyes was like, you know, the whole place was like in foggy kind of thing. And I couldn't really clearly see my room. And it was like so peace. And I felt really, really, really felt like I was in a cocoon love, you know. And very peaceful, and yet I was like questioning myself that, okay, is this hallucination or is it illusion what I was going through? Or but I knew I asked for it, and I got my answer. But yet I was doubting myself, okay, because of like, you know, I like we all go through so much bad pace in life, the darkness. So we do doubt, like, okay, is this true or is it because like, I'm totally in that moment, you know, or is this a psychotic or what kind of stuff, this stuff things is going on in my mind. So I was not sure that, you know, whether to believe. But yet, I was very thankful and I was feeling very peaceful and very tired, exhausted of all these feelings that I surrendered, and I just slept off. After waking up after a few hours, I recalled and I was all excited and I decided, okay, let's do it. So I decided to go to the nearest, temple, but before I was going out of the house, and I knew, we have a coffee table in the living room, I knew there was no book on the living room, yeah? So when I was coming back, and the pastor wasn't staying in the house that day, that night, so I was practically all alone. So when I was walking out, and suddenly I saw there was a book on the coffee table, and that caught my eye. And can you guess what was the title of the book?
I'm gonna let you throw it out there.
40 Days Journey to God by Rick Warden. So I was like, oh my God, I seriously turn left, turn right, and look around. Is there anybody in that house in that moment, you know? Because I knew the night before that there was no book in that house and that coffee table. And, you know, when I saw that book, because, you know, I was like, oh, my goosebumps. I was literally shivering because it was like, okay, it was really, you know, message was given to confirm because I was doubting what I received the message. And when I saw the book, I was like, I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. But I just took it and I decided to, okay, fine. I know, I spoke very loudly. Thank you, whoever you may be around, for giving me this book. And I literally went out of the house because I was really kind of like thinking who's in the house. And so I went straight to the temple and I spoke to the first priest and he was like kind of like thinking, this lady is mad, and he didn't really help me out. So I went to the second temple, there was a crystal step, and she was saying, yeah, she's not surprised that I have experiences. And because she has personally kind of experienced it as well. And she says it's very normal for everyone when they call upon and surrender themselves and to experience this divinity experience. So I said, what do I do? She said, just follow her been message to you. So I said, what sort of prayer do I do? And she said, wake up in the morning, do your meditation, you know, just live your life according to 40 days and, you know, come regularly to the temple and, just go with the flow. I was like, okay. So, yeah, and that 40 days, I went back to my dad's home and was again, because my daughter was staying with my dad as I was going through a separation, so I left her for a while. So, yeah, and then I was like, you know, I was a chicken lover. So, for me to be vegetarian was like, it's a big thing at that moment. And it was quite a shock to my family because, you know, they know that if I go to any vegetarian place or in temple and I'll be asking, do I have a fried chicken here? So, you know, just imagine that, you know, I had to go through. So I decided to, with all my willpower, to continue the journey. And after that, within a week, and I told my dad, I'm going to go for the operation. My dad was kind of like, okay, because he says that you're a vegetarian and you're going to go for operation. So are you sure you'll be fine? You know, would you be a body weak? I said, no. If the message was given to me and he's the one who led me into this part, so I have to faith and trust in myself. And I believe I'll be taken care of. So, yeah, it was successful. And in that 40 days, I was healing myself. You know what? What I've experienced in the 40 days, amazingly waking up and when I, you know, a lot of things in my body, in mind, and I was in very light and peace. I was just, basically, I wasn't even thinking what was the past or what was the future. I was just focused on that moment. And surprisingly, when I go to any restaurant and so happen, it's like, if I walk past which has meat, I can't enter that moment. It was like, stench was like getting to my nose, and I was very shocked about it because, you know, I was thinking, why was I so, you know, being a vegetarian, like, you know, I have this kind of smell and thing like that. So, but again, I thought that, okay, this is the moment that I experienced, and I really sensed a total different me in that moment. So, at the end of the 40th day, I decided to do a prayer, which is to complete the 40th day of the journey. And it's a very early morning prayer. And after I did the prayer, I decided to take 3 oaths. And the first oath was like, you know, actually, I came from a little spiritual family, so I was not exposed to drink, alcohol, or stuff like that. But after my first marriage, you know, being in like more towards modern, so while we were always quarreling, so I was downing whiskey every now and then. So I was like getting into the wrong, a bit of like, you know, not an addiction, but dependency on it. So I took an oath that I will not touch alcohol. That was one. And then the second oath I took was to seek and forgiveness from divine for being very angry with my real mom for leaving me behind, that making me going through all this passage, that because of her gone that I have to experience all this, you know, hurt, all these things that happened to me. And I asked for forgiveness that I'm sorry I didn't respect my real mom and I wanted her to be around. I was very angry because I came to know that, you know, she knew that she couldn't she couldn't able to conceive, but she insistedly to conceive after me, and she knew she was risking her life, but, you know, the question is, we all didn't know that why she did it. So it was very, very, it was like a very upsetting towards me. So yeah, I was letting go of that, asking forgiveness to let go of that thing from my mind and body. And thirdly was, I asked in that prayer moment at the end of 48 days was, I said, dear God, please put me in the path of true love, which is I've been seeking. So yes, that's how it all started. And after that, you know, yeah, that's how it started. And you know what the best part was? In the end, for the last few years, you see, I've been 15 years of loving myself, right? So for the last 5-6 years, I mean, the first 10 years, it didn't occur to me that I was in a true love journey. Seriously, you know? And it just started before I writing my book. Then it just hit me. Just one day hit me. It's like, you know, because of that oath, and I just realized. Because, you see, after a year, when I have this divine voice came to me, and I had an experience to, you know, my divorce was not really going through. So I was really praying for God to lead me, because I didn't want to have enmity with my ex-husband. He's not a bad person. He's a good guy, and so is the family. And most importantly, I want my daughter to be, you know, have a fair custody between both of us. So, you know, I wanted a very peaceful separation, divorce kind of thing. So I knew we both couldn't able to live in the same roof. So it was an arranged marriage, though. And but somehow or other, when I got a new job and all that, so it's kind of affected, still those indifference very much from the family. And so that has led a bit of, you know, a bit of more frustration. But I still keep going. I keep doing my prayers. And then one day there was my very good friend, and she knew that what I, my childhood friend, basically. And she knew what I was going through, and she was, like, saying that, Karam, I want you to meet my cousin brother. He's, I think he can help you out. So, you know, I'm the kind of person who doesn't go and see this, you know, healers or all this stuff. And because I've been exposed since I was all to this thing, so I was, like, really, really have doubts of it. So she said, listen, he was a millionaire, and he gave away all his wealth. And at that time, he was just meeting people and, you know, teaching about love and fear. So, yeah, that was the night when I met him. And he shared to me about what is love and fear in our body and mind. And I was like, okay, you know, because I have never heard about it, anything, you know, realize what is it like. And from then on, and then, of course, he actually basically helped me to heal. I was having a pain on my left arm because, you see, I did my operation, so it's affected on my nerve. And, yeah, I saw the experience of that healing. And then after that, I saw my you know, things started being on the path, like, you know, my work, and then my the divorce was, you know, very peaceful. And though I had to go through such a, I mean, there was a moment, you know, because of going through the separation, you didn't want to hurt the other person, you know, kind of thing. You want to help yourself. So, yeah, it was like, it really helped me out. So, in the end of the day, I became his protege for about three years. You know, I was, like, working in the non-profit organization in Malaysia, and I learned a lot about loving unconditionally and about fears in life. And, I learned about mystical world and so much, I mean, much, much, much deeper things that I have never thought it exists. And in that moment, he has introduced me to Louise Hay books, and I was like, whoa, I got somebody who really, you know, related to what I was going through. And thanks to Louise Hay books and her teaching, and with my spiritual teacher teaching, I have walked through loving myself since that moment until today.
Well, that's a very powerful experience.
Yes.
It sounds like you've been through a lot.
Yes.
So do you feel like when you had that divine experience, when you heard that voice, is that kind of when you started to discover the understanding of true love? Do you feel like that's kind of what catapulted you forward?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because, you see, it's always been inside me, right? So I was looking in relationship. I, of course, before my first marriage, I had two, three boyfriends, so it didn't work out. Every time there were some problems. So, yeah, and of course, from family section, it's like, I'm not saying the whole family is like, you know, they are my aunties and uncles. They are aunties and uncles who've been helping out. They always, you know, I was like living a nomad because I was not happy being my own home. So I will go and stay with my father's brother's house or my father's sister's house or my mother's cousin's house, you know, kind of thing. So you see, I was like just living temporarily in people's houses after I was 18 because my grandma was with me until I was 17. So when she died on my birthday, after my first month of my marriage, that really devastated me because she's the one who taught me to believe in God. She's the one who, it's in the book, she's the one who taught me since I was 6 or 7 years old because she also had a stepmom. So she understood what I was going through and she taught me and she said that, you know, Karam, there's nobody else in this world will lead you to understand about love, about God, about good things, to be a good person. And every night she used to say, have you prayed to God? Have you asked him to be your very good friend? I want you to make him your best. I want you to make him, excuse me, your best friend. So, yeah, so that has led the initiated. You know, this growing child subconscious, so that has really, really got inside me. But then again, it is also has the other side that I wanted true love. So there were two things in my mind. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, your book, Truly Love Me, it really talks about, you know, loving yourself and so forth. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. So, you know, what was your intention behind this? You know, you obviously put your story out there on the table and you found this for yourself. So, you know, obviously you set the intention to write about this and I think your intentions behind it were awesome. But what were those intentions and how can what you wrote or your book really help people to find that love within themselves? Because it is a big struggle. I mean, even from your own personal story, you know, you dealt with struggle and strife and grief and a lot of emotions. So what were your intentions behind the book and how does your book help people find the love for themselves?
All right. Wow. Right. The most important thing I'm just going to start before I give the intention, you know, I'm just going to share that how, you know, I had no idea that I was going to write a book one day. Okay. And it came to a stage when I finished my master's, I was graduated. I always have intentions to be, because I was with my spiritual teacher. So when I saw giving love to people, it means loving myself. So that inspired me. That was like a soul feeding kind of thing, you know. And I just realized, then I realized a lot of things is about words, about the way we speak, about our tone. All these things actually impact in our life, yeah. So that is where I realized that when I saw my life changing bit by bit in every area, I'm not saying it's like miracles is just like, whoa, straight goes. No. It's a curve, you know, it's ups and downs. But literally, you will realize that this sadness thing is no longer there. Yeah. The sadness thing is no longer there. And so that was lead to make me feel that I want to share what I have gone through because I guess I've been, you know, I've been kept alive. I always say this to my clients or during my seminars. I guess I've been kept alive because if I can give faith to myself, I believe I can give faith to others as well. And I know, I've seen many people around me. I mean, they look so normal. They look so happy, like happy. But in the end of the day, their addictions like alcohol or drugs or, you know, they go into things that they don't want to or even in anger and stuff like that. So I knew when I was, as I was loving myself and I could see it also being through the journey, watching other people living their lives and how is it going. And that's what initiated me to actually, I wanted to write a dictionary of positive words. But then I thought, oh, that's going to be a lot of work. And since that moment, I was a single mom. And financially, I was still like really doing my level best. So I said, okay, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to go back to corporate and start working. So And after 3 years, I was working with ESPN in Malaysia, and I was like totally back to corporate. And that was like, you know, the motivator thing was there. And I remember I was saying to my boss, I was like, I want to get into the motivation. I want to know how to reach out there. So, yeah, but the platform wasn't really given rightly. And then suddenly came, you know, then I got married. And then after that, you know, came to a section that I needed to learn about second my marriage and learn a lot about things. I was doing finishing my master's. So, yeah, after 2000, I was telling to my husband that, you know, I really, really want to get into this inspiring people's life. I need to know where and how. But, you know, I do not know where to start with. So, though I was getting job offers, like in HP, you know, and also Tata, but I just, you know, mostly in the HR and operations, but I was just no interest in working with corporates, with, even with my own experience. But I was just into, I want to inspire people because I feel that when I share love, it keeps me going, it keeps me alive because I've seen it, and I've seen it inside me as I was practicing all those years. And suddenly, I have described myself with Louise Hay Publishing, and suddenly I saw, I got a note from through the internet. I saw emails like, okay, Louise Hay has this, I think every year they have this competition of for writing book for 3 months. And I got very excited. Of course, if you write in 50,000 words in 3 months, if I'm not mistaken, and then you get this, you can publish out, and if you be big and stuff like that. So I was so, wow, you know, I don't even know anything about writing. I didn't know anything about the flow to write. I didn't even know. But all I want to know is to put out my story and how did love works with me, okay? And I wanted, you know, wanted to share that how those belief systems, yeah. So, you know, I just decided, and, you know, my husband bought me a laptop. I was like, okay, just start it and see how it is going. So I started writing, and, you know, I was like really all excited. Yeah, I can write 50,000 words in 3 months. Because, you know, because the zeal was so, so, so passionate about sharing, right? But you know what? In 3 months, guess how many words have I written? Could you guess how many words?
Probably maybe like 1,000 or more.
Yes, correct. I was like, oh my God, holy cow, how is this going to be? And I said, okay, I'll wait for the next competition. Oh my God, the next one came, I still didn't finish my book. So yeah, then my husband asked me, so what? I said, forget about competition. I know I need to write, and I can't stop to write myself. Yeah. The thing about it, I realized when I was writing out my story and the inspiration, what was coming through the flow, I kind of forced it out. You know, it comes in a moment, and that's where I started realizing the passion that, you know, it just came as it was coming. And it took me 3 years because I was not writing with my mind. I was writing with my heart, and of course, with the passion flows from the mind. So I told myself, I'm not going to write about fake stories or anything. I want to write about reality of how I experience what I wish that this small thing can make changes around the self, family, you know, the nature, humanity, you know. And that's where as I was writing, I was really getting into more deep of loving myself. So the whole intention of my book is just that when the true love, before that emerged in time, and I realized, wow, I said, this is huge. And we always talk about self-love. Self-love, true love is almost a similar thing. And true love is actually, it's like we've seen, oh, yeah, you can find your best partner and go and think. I'm not saying that when you find somebody or you're really in a relationship, that's not your true love. No, it's not that. When you practice how to love yourself, and you basically appreciate to be who you are, you acknowledge yourself, you prove to be who you understand yourself, you know, your weakness, your honesty, and extra, everything. So the relationship begins with your inner self, your divinity, the good and the bad and the white and the black and everything else. So that so happens, it empowers, and the confidence grows very, very deeply, you know, rootly within you. And actually, it also makes you open to more things in life which you've never seen. So literally, you will start attracting things in life like more towards who's coming your way or who's really in your life, yeah? And when you share it, if let's say you're married and you intend to share this, eventually it will affect and you will see there is a harmonized relationship start working on. And those who are single eventually will attract, you know. So it becomes more, it becomes more oneness kind of thing. So, yeah, that is where I realized that when you really fall in love, naturally you will attract the same as what you love yourself. Because the thing is, when we keep focusing outside, okay, that guy loves me for, and, you know, when you go through ups and downs in life, eventually you start blaming the stars and the moon and the guy and everything else, but not yourself, right, Courtney? So, this is our human tendency nature. So, but we didn't understand the fact is, we are love. When we are love, eventually we will attract that love. So it's just that every single human being on planet Earth is love. When that realization was hitting me all these years, and I'll say, hey, why is no one is able to realize that when you keep looking out for the love, but actually we are love? So yeah, the whole book, True Love Me, is about the true love within you, essence of we are love on planet. We just not realize it because we have not been educated how to love ourselves. And we have not been aware because we have been coming from the past of mind, the do's and don'ts, and, you know, from the families and the school systems and stuff. So when I realized this, it's like, you know, my book is not very thick, but it's simple terms that, you know, they have chapters on trust to forgive, believing in yourself, how those moments, you know, all these are related to true love. And this is all those positive emotion that where we never see that it's an impact of within ourselves. Yeah, that is what truly love means all about. Big loving beings on planet Earth. Hi, Courtney. You're there? Hello?
I find it interesting that you say that we are love, you know, because I think that most people don't realize that. You know, they expect to find love externally, whether it's through the divine or the spirit or through another person. So I think it's a really interesting concept that you say we are love. We are all love. And it's a process of acceptance to figure that out.
Yes, exactly.
You know, that's a really, really powerful statement. Now, I know that you talked a little bit about forgiveness earlier in the show. And I know that you definitely talk about that, you know, within your book as well. But can you talk a little bit more about that subject and the role of forgiveness? Because I think that your experience is very powerful and your book's very powerful. But for our listeners, I think that they would like to hear a little bit about that because they don't, you know, some of us think we got it when it comes to forgiveness and maybe we just don't.
I know. Because it's like, during my coaching and my seminars, and when I really ask this one question, every moment, every time I see anyone, can you forgive easily? And I have 50% to 60% say no, and 30 to 40% say, yeah, kind of, it depends. So maybe I would say 5% say yes. So actually, it is because that... in order to feel the peace within you when you're surrendering, is the most important thing is we, you know, we have come across all the authors and the quite number of spiritual masters around the world, and they always say, they use the words let go and forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is about really, it's not, you know, even the person is like, you feel it's not done right, and of course it's hurt you. But actually, the most important thing is for you to be released. For us to be released of all those feelings, negative feelings that we're holding on ourselves. And that will actually increase the space of love and realizing that we are love. So forgiveness is not like, I done it, done with it. No, it's actually every moment, every situation in our life. We will definitely be encountering much challenges and people, different experiences, because every time you're evolving from a different level. So literally, I'm not saying once you're aware you're loved and you're perfect. Yes, you're perfect, but you have to understand that life is it's like a flow, you know, it's like a storm, and it's like the sea, you know. Some days it's so good, calm. Some days it's like the waves are so huge. So that's what life is all about. So when you practice as you aware your love, so forgiveness gives you a sense to be in that momental stability of your mind, emotion, and gives you being more oneness to yourself and knowing that how you can, you know, roll out to decision-making matters and to be more empowered, to pick up yourself in certain moments that you feel, oh, this is not right for me kind of thing. So forgiveness helps the individual to move on to the next level. And it clears up the space. It creates more. It has the power of creating more abundance as well. It has the power of not only creating love. It has the power of creating the oneness to understand, you know, if those seekers want to know about spirituality, forgiveness is very important. And, of course, for those who are going through illness, forgiveness is very important because you've got to release what you're holding, what you think is bad for you. So forgiveness is the key to let out, to allow the enhancement of the love that what we are, so that it starts grooming inside there. Then the energy starts coming, our cells start responding to it. So if you really ask me, if you don't forgive yourself or you don't forgive the person, it's going to be a bit tough. So it's very, very important to practice forgiveness of, like, every moment you're going through some sort of situation, you can say, I forgive myself unconditionally. And I forgive myself for being in this situation. I forgive this time and I forgive this moment. I forgive the person involved. I know I didn't bring myself. It just so happened. I forgive myself. I forgive being stupid. You know, I feel being ignored. This kind of words when you keep talking and you want to let go, that is actually you're releasing that moment, that feelings that you attach, and to put you to a path that how you can feel more towards peace and putting you to another level of love and being loved so that it carry on to a different positive moment. Yeah.
Well, that's definitely very powerful as well. Now, I know that you do self-love coaching, and that is part of what you do. So how can our listeners benefit from your self-love coaching and what you do as well?
Right. Okay, yeah. Self-love coaching is actually, first of all, I will, like, I do it online, so it goes about nearly 8 weeks and to 3 months. But I have clients who will, like, you know, if they're going through some physical problems. And basically, I do work with my husband because he's a homeopathy doctor. So sometimes he recommends depression and anxiety. So we work together. And in that moment, so I just share and I teach them basically to understand what's love and fear, of course. And then the tools is of, like, mirror work, as Louise Hay has really encouraged. It's a very powerful tool. And, of course, I have a fear removal matrix, which is like, how do you remove fears from yourself? It's like by being oneness with the universe, and it's all about a negative word. So you got, but you've been in a state of wholeness to do that. And we have gratitude that, you know, I really get every time the clients write down gratitude every day, because that opens up the flow of life coming in, receiving power, and the deserving factor. And I will also, in self-love, I teach a lot about trusting and how this wisdom works for decision-making, because it's very important. Every day in our life, we have to make decisions, what to eat, where to go, what to wear, kind of thing, right? So, yeah, so you really want to make the nice decision that doesn't confuse your mind, especially when it comes to relationship or matters that really, you know, it could be life and death or anything. So when you love yourself, you be more aware of the wiseness to, when you know you make this decision, you're prepared for the consequences of the both sides. And you're also aware, okay, you accept. If it didn't work out, you know you're going to make the next step. So kind of thing, it gives you the confidence to be more in the zen and be more stable, yeah? And, of course, I teach breathing love. And I really encourage in my coaching about meditation and soul feeding, because it's like, you see, we eat to keep our body going. So our energy, our soul needs soul feeding. Now, what soul feeding is also one of the chapters. It's actually the creativity, what you do, the prayers, the communications, yeah? And that's the one will encourage the soul to, I mean, the very being, be more positive, more loving. It increases the momentum of loving the self. and of course joy. Now, we always find that happiness is outside again, but actually we are the one who's walking happiness being, and we make happiness in life. We are like a torch, yeah. So I always focus back us again. It starts with me. And when it's with me is happy, you create the happiness around. So that is a part of the self-love coaching as well. And joy is the blood. Blood, you know, it's part of the heart. It's the heartbeat. So if you can't feel happy with yourself, then how are you going to make others and everything else in your life being happy about? And, of course, we have this one of the most important is tolerance and patience, yeah? I guess this is one of the most... I think it's quite tough for people to be a bit patient. I'm not sure, but I noticed that. And self-love increases the really a good bit of being more tolerant and patient in life towards decision, what you go through and challenges. So yeah, this is a number of tools I have in my coaching, including reflections. That means it's like, now one of the most key important thing that, of course, in self-love, you need to aware there's nobody out there other than you. So what you think and what you feel and what you do every day, it's like there's no one out there who's able to, you keep guessing the person knows what you think and feel, but actually it's you are the one who's feeling, not that person. But in oneness, when you start loving yourself and you naturally attract, so there is a bit of like connection. But if you're not in that level of loving yourself or you're just putting that negative energy inside you, eventually you'll attract the same as well. So that creates a oneness towards to be more towards in the line that how to create more wonderful things in self-love. So the whole self-love coaching is having this interesting tool of reflections of life, which is really been divided in many different directions. Of course, the other most important thing in what I do in my coaching is belief system. 90% we have subconscious of mind that it's really been habitual that how we think and all that. And 10% is unconscious. So relatively, self-love depends on 90% very much. So it's all those things you pour in your head and what you believe about life. So we always believe like, oh, the earth is coming to an end. No, there's no such thing. It's what you believe. You just imagine. Yesterday, I had a very interesting chat with a bunch of students who's in college here. Yeah? And I asked them this question, which is, can you just imagine, let's say out of, we have 7 billion people, 7 billion, I think, on Earth right now, right, Courtney? So can we just imagine that out of 7 billion, so 3 to 4 billion people who've just been educated out of love, okay? And they have been, like, you know, practicing that they are love, we are love. So can you just imagine what will happen to us? So I asked this question to the students. But I would love to ask you, Courtney, what do you think? So if every out of 7 billion, so just 3 billion of people just practice that we are love. So what do you think will impact on lives of humans and the planet?
Well, I think that if we're not aware of love or we don't accept, you know, self-love and so forth, it actually has a negative impact on the world, I would believe.
Yeah, that's what's happening right now. So, yeah, that's what I actually shared to the, you know, to the students and the people. Like, the whole thing is the self-love is, and the book is all about to create the love, the imagine that we are love and believe in it and knowing that, you see, even the nature, the law of attraction is like, you know, like attracts like, love begets love, hate begets love, hate begets hate kind of thing. So, yeah, it creates the oneness so that we can live our life more happiness. And, you know, we always have this fear that nothing is not in, you know, everybody is comparing or there's not enough. So, actually, the whole thing is to remove all this negative impact of not being enough. It's all to say there's never neckness in the whole world. There's always something. There's always, everybody is unique because every thumbprint is different. There's 7 billion and 7 billion different of thumbprint in the world. And most importantly, out of self-love is no judgment. True love is really, really about non-judgment. Because I'm not saying we cannot, we have a perception. Because if we believe about being loved, we are loved. So eventually the judgment will heal. So we realize when we have something, oh, yeah, we base on judgment and that creates personality and perception of the self first and then the other person. That impact is also the whole energy entirely in the world. So Yeah, that is what I do in my self-love, so creating a personality to believe in them. And, you know, I have rules in self-love. If somebody comes in and says, oh, Karam, you know, I really need to see you, I'm not motivated, I say, hello, rule number one, self-love is not depending motivation from outside. You are a motivation for yourself. The whole thing is about to motivate it to be inspired living your life, no matter what you go through, every single second. Because it's like you have a moment to go through ups and downs. But when you know your love, you're happy, and you're everything but that, there's no way out that you ever go back to the past that's not giving you the light out of it. Yes, that is what self-love coaching is all about.
Well, I know we're down to the last 9 minutes of the show, so and it's been a joy to be able to hear your story and more about your book. So is there something that you would like to leave our audience with this evening? Is there something that, you know, you would like them to know or something from your book that maybe we didn't get to discuss that you definitely want the listeners to know about?
Yeah. I, well, basically, whenever I see anyone, especially my clients, and when I do the mirror work, you know, we have this session, and I will ask them to see me in my eyes through the mirror, and I'll ask them, what do you see? And each one I will ask, you know, and they'll say, I can see happiness. And I've heard someone say, I see hope. So the whole thing is, truly love me. And my sharing is, it's never to give up in life. There's no space, actually, to the existence of that word. It's actually faith. Everything in life is related to faith and trust inside. And without this, it creates a lot of, you know, the other side of the world, which leads us to a lot of destruction to our in anything in life. And it's very important to aware how faith not to give up, to keep trying. That's what we are. I'm sure that all of you have seen the Olympics and Paralympics and how you've seen everyone fight for it. And, you know, in sports, yeah, we know we can do it kind of thing. But the same thing should be applied in living in our life. And by doing so, it's like when you realize your love is definitely aware, it's connection to the faith, it's connection to the trust. It's like when I have people say, I can't trust anyone, that means you can't trust yourself. It's all about beginning with ourselves, actually. So truly love me, it's really, really about, like, instead of looking out and pointing fingers, or we keep thinking it's there, out there. It's no, it's inside. We have the power. It's all within us because we are love. So there's no impossibility exists in the dictionary mind of self-love. It's only possible. So I really wish everyone in the world, do the practice of finding out, you know, what is true love. Actually, you can Google up or experience it yourself. I'm very 100% sure, eventually if you buy my book or you don't, but I'm very sure when you ask, the answer will be given. And have faith in yourself. Yeah. That is my sharing.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to interview you this evening and allowing to get to know you better, and definitely hearing more about the inspiration behind your book. Now, if somebody would like to purchase your book or connect with you, how can they do that?
Oh, yeah. My book is all over online bookstores and Amazon. Barbara Press, of course, and it's also in Barnes. You can find it in online bookstores. And to connect to me here, you can just go to my website, is karamlove.com, or you can search me at Facebook, karamlove. Yeah, so you can actually get my message from there. You can email me, and that's contact number to get in touch with me. And
awesome.
I'm sure you can get my book anywhere. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and just to let everybody know, it is available online. I was fortunate enough to be able to download it and read it. So for those of you out there who have Kindles or, you know, all of those tablets and so forth, they can actually download your book and read it too. So that's a great opportunity for some people who tend to prefer that rather than, you know, purchasing a live copy. Well, thank you so much for being here this evening and letting me interview you. It was a great experience, and I hope to be able to connect with you again in the future and maybe have you back on.
Yes, of course, Courtney, and it's like it's really exciting and inspiring to me, and speaking from Malaysia to US and vice versa, like, I feel awesome. Thank you so much, and really thank the universe for this moment. Thank you, Courtney. Thank you to Body, Mind, Spirit for giving me this platform to share love. Thank you so much, and all blessings of love from me.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it, and we wish you the very best. And I would definitely recommend everybody pick up your book. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Courtney. Love always.
All right. Bye-bye. If you have been listening live, or if you just tuned in, or if you're listening to this in archive, you've just tuned in to In Touch Interviews. I had the wonderful opportunity to interview Karam Kerr, and she was here talking about her book, Truly Love Me. Truly Love Me is about finding the meaning of true love, which she has been searching for since she was a little girl. But the true love energy is unshakable. It's attainable with much patience, trust, determination, faith, and wisdom. It has created amazing miracles in her life, and she's grateful to divine love as he created her. So if you would like more information about the book, you can definitely go to bodymindspiritradio.com and go to In Touch Interviews. We have all of her information there, including a way to connect and purchase the book. Or you can go directly to her website, karamkerr.com. That is karamjeetkaur.com. On behalf of Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, we were very excited to be able to interview her and welcome her to the station. Hopefully we will be able to hear from more from her in the future, and maybe possibly another book in the works. So thank you so much. Once again, if you would like to listen to this full episode, please visit BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. Until next time, everybody have a wonderful day or night. Bye-bye.